Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, and Andrew Holland on the board and in studio with me. A pleasure for the last hour and 45 minutes is Zach Miller, who you may remember from previous programs, although that would be going back. If anybody can remember Zach from 5 years ago, they're good.
I'll be very impressed.
Very impressed.
I'm very impressed.
Maybe our super fans will remember them.
Zach was just a little 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid. I remember coming in here. We brought him in because he had a passion for the outdoors. He loved fishing, and he was battling leukemia at the time. And he was also a participant at Camp Ooch that we talk about here on the program regularly, Camp Oochagias. And so we thought we'd bring him in then, and we thought we'd bring him in now. And fortunately, it was great news this time around. Zach is in complete remission, and he's turned into a fish-catching machine. So everything went well for you, man.
Hey, I'm happy the way things turned out.
And we've just begun, as they say.
I hope for more experiences in the future.
You were saying when we were off the air there that you you think you might have paddled with this company.
I'm pretty sure it was that one. It was like a couple of years ago, but yeah, they handled things very well.
And you enjoyed it?
I loved it. I strongly urge everybody to do something of that sort, whether it's whitewater rafting or paddling in a canoe.
Yeah, anything like that. Anytime you can get an opportunity to. But first of all, you know, if you're an adrenaline junkie, obviously that's great stuff.
Yeah, but you can do more intense stuff. But there's also more geared towards the average Joe kind of paddler.
I started doing it when I was about your age and did it for probably 30 years. Used to love paddling through Algonquin Park and doing portages into the park.
They do that, which is good. In the I did an outdoor ed class in high school.
Nice.
And it was they do that, which is crazy cool in my mind. They take you up to Algonquin for, I think, 2 days or 3 days,
fantastic.
Two nights.
Nothing like it. The experience
it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's definitely something for
and you can and you can go fishing. That's the best part. And speaking of fishing, time to do a little fishing ourselves.
Bear hugs. That's what he gives bears. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Doc.
That's right, kiddies. Time to do a little fish talk. We call him the Doc here. His name is Gord Pizer. He is the fishing editor, award-winning fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine, Canada's only coast-to-coast-to-coast the magazine dealing with outdoors, fishing, hunting, camping, all that good stuff. It's called Outdoor Canada. You can get more information, better yet, get one sent to your home by going to outdoorcanada.ca. That's outdoorcanada.ca. And subscribe. Tell them the Doc sent you. They'll do something nice for you for sure. Morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Ange. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
How's the? We've been talking about water levels down here. Sometimes I lose touch with reality. I didn't realize it was as bad as it is. What's happening up north?
You know, it's been. I would say it's pretty normal, Ange. And most of that has been because we've not had the rain, you guys. We have not had a good spring rain yet this spring. And so we had those high snowpack levels just like the rest of Ontario. But fortunately, all the rain's gone to the south of us. So, you know, that's crazy. Really fortunate. We only had to deal with snow melt and not rain on top.
Hey, Gord, and Zach doesn't know this, but Gord had a very similar experience recently. A young man in his neck of the woods needed some outdoor hugs, and Gord was able to give him those hugs, and how important that was to that to Gord. First of all, to Gord, because I know what it's like when we as adults can reach out and help kids that even if they're not ill. But just help expose them to the outdoors and help them embrace the outdoors. But when a kid's got something like cancer, being able to be a part of that person's life at that time is very special. And I know Gord recently had an experience with a young man as well.
Yeah, you know, in fact, he came by the house just the other day, Ange, and dropped me off. I'm sure he told you this when he was on the radio show, but he has his own little bait company. And he came by and dropped me off some hand-poured stick baits. And next Saturday, next Saturday at the big community park here, Anishinaabe Park in Kenora. He and his mom are putting on a barbecue, all in support of Ronald McDonald House in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh, fantastic, man.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the benefits that we have in this business, isn't it, being able to get involved in stuff like that?
And, you know, it works both ways. I said this when I was on. It's really selfish, and I know you know this too, Ange. The benefits all go to the person, really, that's taking someone out fishing. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. Zach, when you were going through all of this turmoil that, you know, from the age of 12 to when, by the way, how long have you been in remission?
I've been in fully remission for about 2 years.
2 years now.
I'd say, 2 years, but I've been basically since the start of like grade 10-ish, kind of just completely over and done with.
During that period, I mean, I know you were a fishing nut the day I met you, and I know it got worse as time went by. But, and I mentioned earlier in the program that you used it as a crutch. Do you recall going out fishing, whether it was at Camp Ooch, whether it was with your parents, whether it was at the cottage? Do you recall going out fishing and those moments where you were able to totally forget your
problems? For sure. Like it was kind of like a coping mechanism, but it also gave me something to completely get distracted by and like totally immerse myself in, which I think played a big part in how serious I'm taking it now.
I was going to ask you, do you think it drove you to get you to the frenzied level that you are? Doc, this guy's an absolute fishing machine. I'm telling you. He's a nut.
That's cool.
It's like it's a sickness.
Yeah. Oh, it is, man. A good sickness.
It's a very good sickness.
Yeah. Anyways, not to change the topic. What are we talking about this week, Gordy?
You know, I don't know if Zach's ever got in to one of those feeding frenzies. It only happens once every, 10, 15 trips out. But, Ange, just before the end of the ice fishing season, and I posted it online, actually. I took some screenshots. I was actually ice fishing at that stage for black crappies. And one of the unwritten rules of fishing is you never leave fish to go find fish.
That's right, very true.
I got to be honest. So I was seeing individual crappies, and it was just so hard. You had to go down there, and you had to fish for like 4 or 5 minutes, just work each one before you got a bite. So I thought, you know what? There's got to be a better school close by. These guys are probably the outside edge. I actually left the individuals, and then I found a couple. And when you found two, that whole competitive aspect, they came rushing up, and then I hit the mother load. And, you know, it happens, and we see it in smallmouth bass in the open water season. You know, you'll hook a smallmouth, and you'll be bringing it in, and there'll often be 5, 6 more buzzsawing right underneath it. And any time you can get more than one fish, you can kind of fire up the school, if you will, and get those competitive juices flowing. That's what you're looking for. And so the piece I did is, you know, sometimes it does pay to leave fish to find fish.
Hard to do, but I do understand what you're saying for sure. Now, Gord, people might be thinking, okay, wait a minute. This guy's fishing crappie, and he's saying he's seeing individual fish, and then the odd time he's going to see two fish. Now, talk to us about that, because that in itself is kind of interesting, I think, to most anglers that maybe are not quite as experienced at doing this as we are.
Well, you know this is the case, Ange. When we're out, we use our sonar units for so many things. We're using it to find structure. We're using it to find drop-offs. And I never call them fish finders, although that's what they are. Not in the sense of I'm not always looking for fish. But in this case, when I was ice fishing, I actually spotted one. You know, you'd go from hole to hole to hole, and there'd be one there, and there'd be another one over in another hole. When you find those singles, though, it's almost like they're just hovering off the bottom and they're not excited. If you keep moving, and it's hard to do, you want to say, well, I've already found one. Why should I leave? Because when you find two, they start rushing up. One's got to get it ahead of the other guy. But if folks go online and check out those screenshots that I posted, I guarantee in one of the shots there has to be 18, 20 crappies. And that means I found that school before my jig was getting down through the hole. At least two fish were already starting to shoot up to hit it. And that's what you're doing. You're looking for more than one, if you will. And two's good, but if you find four, that's twice as good. And if you find 8 or 12 or 16, it's game on.
Yeah, because they're all active, right? At that point, if there's a tightly clustered group of fish like that, you know what they're doing. They're feeding.
And yeah, and even if only half of them are feeding, Ange, you've still kind of struck that. And it's that competitiveness. It's when they see it, especially fish like crappies and bass, they just can't stand some other member of the school getting to it. So it's almost like even if they're not hungry, they got to chase after it and get it before their buddy does.
Yeah, and it's all about competition, right?
It really is. A lot of the listeners will hear, you know, on television, or they'll be reading stuff and they hear pro anglers talking about firing up the school. And that's what you do. You can actually fire up the school. Even if you find those 15 or 14 fish and they're not really, really excited, you drop a bait and keep it well above them. You hover it and whatever, and all of a sudden one starts to come up. Then there's usually four or five that overtake it and rush up. And that's what you're trying to do, fire up the school.
I was talking earlier on to Zach about what he's going to be fishing for in the days ahead, and obviously in this part of the world, steelhead, as soon as we get some water conditions, that will allow us to. But right now, steelhead is kind of at the top of that list. Do you do any, trout fishing?
When I lived in Thunder Bay, that's probably what I did the most. And, you know, when I was with M&R and then we moved back to Kenora here, unfortunately, I'm 5 to 6 hours one way away from the best steelhead. We have no steelhead here in Northwest Ontario. You got to go to Superior. But I just love it. And the funny thing is, every time a steelhead article comes out or I see something or I see you and Pete doing it, I always watch those shows and it just brings back such good memories. Nipigon River, Black Sturgeon Bay, Thunder Bay in the city itself, some McIntyre Creek. There's some fantastic steelhead fishing.
I think it's a great playing field to really learn angling, isn't it, Zach?
It's a different experience. It's quite the struggle. I compare it to it's the river fishing version of kind of musky fishing in a sense.
Yeah, I agree.
You go in there fairly blind to the sense of how they operate in the rivers kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like salmon when they're just...
And there's always that one guy on the bend that's catching all the fish.
Oh, yeah, because he's been doing it for... And he's just honed into another sense.
Exactly. And that's why I say it's a great place to learn...
For sure.
...how to become a good angler. Because especially with the rivers that receive a lot of pressure, catching those fish...
It humbles you.
Oh, yeah. It takes a real knack, and it humbles you. Very well put.
It's a lot of fun. Even though you... It's like musky fishing. Half the time you don't catch anything, but when you do, it's that much more rewarding, right?
So. And you know the other thing, guys, is, and I've said this a few times, most steelhead or many steelhead anglers also fish for other species, Pete and Ange, when you guys were growing up on the Ganaraska. The best anglers, the very best smallmouth bass anglers I've ever fished with, all were good steelheaders.
I agree 100%, because it's the same knack that you need to get under your belt, right? That
it
touch,
is.
That feel, that you have to be so sensitive to the water and the surroundings.
Even navigating the rivers, fishing-wise, is just a different skill.
And you're using your eyes to pick out, you know, those high current flows and the back eddies. Sure. You're using your eyes for undercut banks. Maybe you're looking even sometimes to sight fish, which is exactly what you do for smallmouth.
Yeah,
that's my favorite way to do it, is sight fish them in the rivers.
What are your plans this week? Where are you fishing, my friend?
You know, the small lakes are open at last. I would say we're 3 days away on Lake of the Woods. So tomorrow we're going smallmouth fishing on a small lake just north of town. And hopefully next week I'll be telling you about big smallmouth that are coming up.
You kill me. You kill me. It's painful. My friend, as usual, thank you very much. Always a pleasure talking to you Saturday mornings. It makes my weekend for sure.
Thanks a bunch, Angie. Take care, Zach.
See you. Nice talking to you.
His name is Gord Pizer. We call him the Doc. He's with Outdoor Canada Magazine. You can read him anywhere, but go outdoorcanada.ca and look up Gord Pizer. Better yet, just go on Google and check him out. He is everywhere. He's in the Ontario portal, tourism portal. He's everywhere. That are it, kiddies. Time to call it quits for another weekend. Hey, Zach, I had a blast. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll have to make it more often.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I'd love to.
On behalf of the entire Outdoor Journal team, John Winters, who we didn't get to today, our producer, somewhere driving out there. Behind the glass, as per usual, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Andrew Holland on the board this weekend. I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. Talk to you next Saturday.